Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Well, a new year is upon us, and with it a host of continuing controversies in the world of election law. As the new U.S. Congress was sworn in last week, one seat remains vacant, North Carolina's 9th Congressional District, where allegations of electoral misconduct have prevented state officials from certifying the narrow Election Day victory that Republican Mark Harris seemed to win. Earlier this week, I sat down with Jane Pinsky, longtime director of the North Carolina Coalition for Lobbying and Government Reform, to discuss the 9th District controversy, the controversy surrounding the state's Board of Elections and ethics enforcement, and the hope that 2019 might bring some real gerrymandering reform. Well, Jane Pinsky, welcome back to News and Views. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. Happy New Year to you. Looking forward to a good year.
Remind our listeners about the coalition and the fine work it's doing.
The North Carolina Coalition for Lobbying and Government Reform was originally founded in 2005.
Wow, I hadn't realized it's been that long now.
And yeah, it kind of has just flown by. When North Carolina got an F for the way we reported how lobbyists were spending money and what they were giving to legislators. And then quickly after that, we had some problems with then House Speaker
Jim Black
seemed to be doing some things that were not legal and was found with a bag of cash in a Waffle House bathroom, I believe. So we have pushed for increasing openness and transparency, tighter ethics rules so that people know from whom their elected officials are taking money. They know what lobbyists are doing. We have a rule that says as a lobbyist, I can't give a legislator anything besides a birthday card and a Christmas card.
It was one of the signature accomplishments, really.
Right,
the
it was. I think that's a good thing. I think we still have a long way to go in terms of enforcing our ethics laws and in terms of getting us to real transparency.
So how'd we do in 2018? It was a convoluted and sort of hard to follow year if you're a layperson who's not immersed in the politics in Raleigh, trying to keep track. Wait, we had a board of elections and ethics enforcement, and then it's the courts have said it's unconstitutional, and now we're sort of in a never-never land where we're not quite sure what we've got. Talk to us sort of about some of the recent developments and how we're regulating elections and ethics in North Carolina.
Well, before we talk about that, we should point out to people that this is the board that will make a decision about whether Reverend Harris is seated as our representative from the 9th Congressional District.
Right.
To date, they have refused to do so. But this board has been all over the place. The legislature tried to take control of it away from the governor. Eventually, the courts gave it back to the governor. And it had to do with running things. Sometimes people forget the legislature's job is to set the rules, and the governor's job is to make sure we follow the rules, and then if we don't, they send us off to the judicial branch. So we are back where we were in 2016. Took us a few years to get there, but so we should have a new board of election and a new ethics commission, both appointed by the governor with appointments from legislative leaders in the near future. But in the meantime, we're just sort of afloat in the universe. This is particularly the ethics side of things has never really had enough money and resources to do enforcement. They haven't had the resources to really investigate complaints. And the legislators retain ethics oversight on all legislators.
Another area where we're not having a lot of transparency.
Well, the Legislative Ethics Committee may have met in the last 2 years, or they may have not have met, but
their
meetings are not posted publicly, and the public is not allowed in them. Since we pay for the work that goes on there and we pay for their salaries, it would be nice at least to know when those meetings are happening.
And speaking of transparency, we've had another recent development. Over the holidays, the legislature had concluded their lame duck legislative session and indeed concluded the work of the 2018 General Assembly. And they did it by passing legislation. Governor Cooper vetoed it, and then they overrode his veto to make it law that basically adds a new level of secrecy, if you will, to state Board of Elections investigations, which has got a lot of good government folks very concerned.
We're deeply concerned about it, first of all, because not only does it take away the transparency, but it basically adds a 90-day kick the can down the road period where a decision goes from the State Board of Elections to the Ethics Commission, And then the Ethics Commission makes a recommendation to the State Board of Elections on action, but the State Board isn't bound to follow that recommendation, and they can't take any action in the 90 days that that's going on. So those investigations and those that process is already way too slow.
Right. We've had some that have dragged on for months and months, if not years, under the current regime.
Right.
And now...
Somebody could be out of office before they got it done. And it, as someone who started the process about the time that we saw Representative Wright of Wilmington censured and thrown out of the North Carolina General Assembly, and I thought we had a good process and we were moving forward publicly, but that leadership doesn't seem to be there anymore.
Well, that's a very distressing development, but we hope perhaps they'll got a new General Assembly taking office in the coming days, and perhaps 2019 will be a brighter year for ethics and the whole world of elections regulation. What are some of the issues that you see coming in the new year? I mean, obviously, we have redistricting reform out there as an issue. Is there anything... I guess for now, we're expecting this new regime in the ethics and election world to kind of settle in before we see any additional proposed changes.
I think that's true, but I think that given that we are 13 years out from the, almost 14, from the original changes, it probably is time to look at them and to tighten up some things. One of the things that happened in 2018 was that our state superintendent of education took a bunch of trips courtesy of Apple, as did some legislators. And were it not for people like NC Policy Watch or NC Policy Watch, none of us would have ever known about that because they did not deem it a lobbying effort, even though Apple is a registered lobbyist in the state. And it is, in theory, incumbent on the legislators to report it, but they didn't. And then we spent $5 or $6 million on Apple iPads.
Soon thereafter, yeah. What a coincidence that they wined and dined these powerful politicians and then...
It did, and there were some interesting things like plane flights from Frederick, Maryland to the West Coast, and I was never quite sure how someone who worked in North Carolina as a legislator got to Frederick, Maryland to take a private flight. You know, it's all a little suspicious.
We definitely need some additional enforcement personnel. Sometimes it reminds me, if you're a sports fan out there, this kind of reminds me of the NCAA, which regulates college sports. Sometimes the ethics and enforcement structure we have in North Carolina kind of reminds me of that. It's a perpetually overwhelmed, under-resourced branch of government that has way too much to investigate, not nearly the staff and the resources necessary to get the job done.
It's kind of like on a football game having an official out there without a whistle.
Right, exactly.
Hey, guys.
Exactly.
Stop.
Exactly. Know? Well, we do have a little time to talk about redistricting, which is another area that y'all have been pushing for a long time, and it finally seems as if we're starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, an end to partisan gerrymandering in North Carolina. There's litigation going on in the courts. There's some hope for legislation to be passed. Talk to us about where things stand on that,
well,
on that
front. Well, there are two major cases in the courts. One, Common Cause v. Rucho, which challenged the congressional districts. The court said those congressional districts were partisan gerrymander overtly and illegally. And that case, we expect sometime this week, the Supreme Court will announce.
The U.S. Supreme Court.
The U.S. Supreme Court will announce that they will hear that case along with a case from Maryland, which is the flip of ours. In North Carolina, obviously, it's right. We're saying that the Republicans did an overly partisan gerrymander. The Democrats in Maryland did an amazing gerrymander that may outdo some of our shapes. So we hope that the U.S. Supreme Court will hear that this spring and that we will have a decision before June so that at the end of the year when people file to run for Congress again, it seems like we never stop,
right around the corner,
that we'll have different districts. So that's litigation number one. Litigation number two is also a Common Cause case. This one is Common Cause v. Rucho and alleges that a number of legislative districts were improperly drawn. That case is record-breaking in that it's the first partisan gerrymandering case to be brought in North Carolina courts. And there is really no way it should be in a federal court, even though the defendants
have been trying to remove it to federal court because they're afraid what they think is going to happen in state court.
So we are hoping that that will also move forward so that by the end of 2019, we'll have different legislative districts. But in the end, you can have all the court cases you want. We've had, I think we're now up to 45 since 1980. It's hard to tell, but none of it's going to change until we change the system. And we're really hoping that this is the year that both parties will figure out that we are now permanently a purple state. It's going to swing back and forth, and that they need to find a way to do it in an open, transparent, nonpartisan way and set up a process so that we can do that in 2021, which is the next time the districts will be drawn. Once we get that in statute, then we would look to get in into the North Carolina Constitution, because the Constitution says the legislature draws the maps.
Well, we'll sure keep our fingers crossed for that. I think the hopeful thing is that the whole idea of gerrymandering has finally sort of caught on. Even, I think, broad swaths of the public now get the idea that partisan gerrymandering, rigging districts to elect certain people, is just something that's fundamentally antithetical to American values. And I feel like maybe it's something that there's some real hope on in the coming year. And we congratulate you on the fine work to move that forward. Thanks, Jane. We'll do this again and hopefully have a discuss some of the successes you've had in the 2019 session in the very near future.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, we'll talk to the author of a new report that shines a light on the critical economic importance of businesses owned by people of color. Stay with us.